live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 15th day of July 2025. Before I introduce my guest and our topic, I do want to pay tribute briefly to one of my modern-day heroes who is now in eternity with Jesus Christ. I'm sure many of you have heard by now of the passing on to glory of John MacArthur, world-renowned radio and television Bible teacher, author and pastor and conference speaker. John went into paradise at 6:17 p.m. California time last evening, 9:17 p.m. Eastern time, and Phil Johnson has already agreed to come on the program in somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 weeks from now to join me in a special memorial program in tribute to John MacArthur. Joining us that day, God willing, will be my dear friend, Dr. Doug McMasters, who is pastor of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island, New York, who at one time was director of pastoral relations at Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. And we may even also be joined that day by my longtime dear friend, Pastor Jim Capo, who is retired from pastoral ministry, but at one time was pastor of the Massapequa Church of God on Long Island. And he absolutely loved the ministry of John MacArthur. And he was my co-host on the first and only time I had the privilege to interview the John MacArthur on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in 2007, almost 20 years ago. And I am thrilled to hear from Jim Capo that he may indeed be able to work it out to join us also, so I'll be praying for that. So please pray for the family of John MacArthur and also for the congregation at Grace Community Church of Sun Valley, California, as they mourn the loss of this giant of the faith, now in eternity with Christ. But today I am thrilled to have as a first-time guest Leonardo De Chirico. He is a Reformed Baptist church planter in Rome, and you can find out more about that congregation at BRECCIADIROMA.IT, and we'll be repeating that later. He's also director of Reformanda Initiative, and today we're going to be addressing proclaiming the true biblical gospel and refuting the falsehoods of Roman Catholicism in Italy. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Leonardo De Chirico.
Hello, good morning, and Christopher and to all our listeners. Warm greetings from Rome, Italy.
Thank you, and am I still pronouncing your name correctly?
Yes, you did a fantastic job.
That's good to know. Well, tell us about this congregation, Brecchia di Roma.
Yes, by God's grace, the church was planted in 2010, 15 years ago, as a Reformed Baptist church in the heart of the historic city of Rome. And the church was and is still part of a network of Reformed Baptist churches in Italy, more than 15 churches committed to the 1689 London Confession of Faith. And these churches are to be found in the whole of the country from north to south. And Rome, our church, is one of them. So in 2010, I moved to Rome. I'm Italian, but I'm not Roman by birth. I moved to Rome to, with the support and blessing of the Reformed Baptist churches in Italy, to plant a church here in the city, as well as to encourage a church planting movement in the city of Rome and beyond. And Rome is the capital city of the nation. Almost 4 million people live here. Rome is the center place of the Roman Catholic Church, the place where the Pope lives, the place where the Vatican is located. And so it brings unique challenges for gospel witness. We started gathering people, preaching the Word of God in homes first, and then by God's grace since 2016, in a building that was eventually purchased and is still the place where we have our Sunday services and our other church activities and other events, right in the city center, half a kilometer from the Colosseum, one of the most iconic monuments in the world. We are there preaching the gospel of Jesus. And so since 2010, we saw some conversions, people coming to faith. The church was established a few years after. And in 2018, the first church planting work was also launched out of our church in another area of the city of Rome called San Paolo. A large neighborhood of 130,000 people without an evangelical church. So 11 members of our church were commissioned to plant a second church in this neighborhood called San Paolo, St. Paul. In 2022, the second church planting work was launched in another area of Rome called Prati, next to the Vatican. And very close to where the Pope lives. Nine members were commissioned to plant a church in that area of the same city, the city of Rome. Our vision and prayer is to plant two more churches in the city of Rome before 2030. And so that's the vision 2030 that we have. And it's a prayer request. It's our dream and goal and desire to see the gospel spreading in the city of Rome through faithful churches, serving the cause of the gospel and serving the community around us. So it's a fairly young church and church planting movement. But we're seeing signs of God's blessing and approval, and we are encouraged to see what God is doing. Although, as you may imagine, we also face challenges and issues, especially given the context God has placed us in. Majority Catholic context that has had no Reformation in the past has actually fought against Protestants for centuries, not providing a space for Protestant churches for centuries, and only experiencing and having religious freedom since the end of the Second World War, so fairly recently, 70 years, 80 years ago, and still grappling with that long legacy of lack of religious freedom and opposition towards Protestantism. That is the context that God has placed us in, the context where we serve the cause of the gospel, the context out of which God is at work, and in conversions, in lives being transformed by the gospel and being discipled according to the Christian faith.
And now tell us something about a couple of ministries that you're involved in. Reformanda Initiative, whose website is reformandainitiative.org, and also the Vatican Files, which is found at vaticanfiles.org. Tell us about those.
Yeah, being in the city of Rome and a pastor and theologian here, I felt that God was calling me to serve the global church in providing analysis, evaluation, insight on Roman Catholicism. Roman Catholicism has in Rome its very center, and having done my PhD on the Second Vatican Council, the most important religious event in the 20th century, and being now a pastor in Rome, I felt that it was my responsibility to provide some help to not only the local churches or the national churches, but also to the more international work of the gospel. Roman Catholicism is everywhere, from south to north, from east to west, and everywhere you go in the world, you'll find the Roman Catholic Church in one way or another. And so the Vatican Files began as reports, monthly reports on Vatican and Roman Catholic issues, be they papal encyclicals, be they Catholic events, be they issues coming out of the Vatican, providing a report for evangelical readership. And so I accredited myself as a journalist to the Vatican Press Office, and I could attend press conferences and interviewing Vatican officials. And out of that initial beginnings, the Vatican Files, the website was established, and every month, first day of the month, a new article comes out. There's a free subscription, and people who want to subscribe can do so by adding their email address, and they will receive on the first of every month the new Vatican trial. Up to now, there are almost 250 articles on a variety of issues related to the Roman Catholic Church, and the popes, what they say, their speeches, their initiative, etc. Then, as this work grew, I began to be invited to speak at conferences and preach in various places on the topic of Catholicism, both nationally and internationally. And so in 2016, the Reformanda initiative was launched as an initiative seeking to equip, unite, and resource evangelical leaders on how to engage Roman Catholicism faithfully and winsomely. And so since 2016, we have had, organized the Rome Scholars and Leaders Network, a week-long seminar for scholars and leaders from around the world to study the reality of Catholicism from an evangelical theological perspective. And then out of those initiatives, many invitations have been coming in to participate at conferences and at seminars around the world. So with my colleagues, we also go and speak to conferences in Latin America, Europe, and the U.S. and Australia, touching on Roman Catholicism from a theological, historical, apologetic point of view, and helping evangelicals not to be seduced by what appears to be the change that is going on in Rome and Roman Catholicism, but at the same time, Rome not really changing, and not changing its commitments that are not grounded on Scripture alone and are not focused on Christ alone, but are spurious commitments and leading to a flawed account of the gospel. So the ministry has been expanding because even in recent years, in the U.S. or in European countries, Roman Catholicism has become more of an issue even among evangelical circles, seeing a number of especially young people being attracted to it. And so all of a sudden, churches and ministries have become to pay attention, more attention to Catholicism. And so that has meant that we have received a growing number of invitations and opportunities to serve the wider church.
Praise God. Let me repeat to those websites. First of all, Reformanda Initiative can be found at reformandainitiative.org, reformandainitiative.org, and the Vatican Files can be found at vaticanfiles.org, vaticanfiles.org, and God willing, we'll repeat those websites toward the end of the program. And now, as we always do when we have a first-time guest, we would like you to give a summary of your salvation testimony that would include the kind of religious upbringing you had and the providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and saved you. So let's hear your story.
Yeah, thank you very much. I was raised in a Catholic family, as most of my fellow citizens in Italy. And when I was a little boy, my parents were visited by a missionary couple knocking doors in our hometown up in the north of the country. They were part of a missionary team called Operation Mobilization, going door to door, knocking doors, and trying to talk to people and share the gospel. My father let them in, and a conversation began. This missionary couple came from Switzerland and could hardly speak Italian enough to engage a conversation that eventually led to the conversion of my father and mother. So as they began to talk, this missionary couple asked my father, "Are you a Christian?" And my father responded, "Yes, I am Italian."
Yes.
They said, "Yes, we know you're Italian," but that was not the question. The question is, are you a Christian? And my father said, "Well, I'm Italian. There is no difference." "No," they said, "no, being a Christian meaning being a disciple of Jesus, being a follower of Jesus, being a believer." That was the first time my father had ever heard such a definition.
Wow.
And then the second question was, "Have you ever read the Bible?" And my father turned to my mom and they said, "Dear, do we have a Bible in our home?" And my mom said, "No, dear, we don't." They'd never opened the Bible. And so all of a sudden they realized that they were carrying the label Christian, but they didn't know what it meant. And they had never opened the Bible, the Word of God. These missionaries helped them to see that how can you define yourself Christian and not reading the Word of God, not listening to the voice of Christ. And so a Bible study began in that after the following week around that kitchen table. I was a boy, as I said. I couldn't understand much at that time, but I could see what was going on in my parents' lives. After 6 months, my dad became a Christian. And after a few months, my mom followed him. It took a few years for me to process what was going on. And when I was a teenager, I made a profession of faith. I confessed my sin. I realized I was a sinner. And I realized that the gospel was good news for me. And I realized what Jesus had done on his incarnation life. And death on the cross and his resurrection. And I realized that I was lost outside of Christ. And so I became a Christian. I was baptized later in the local church. And I have had the privilege of following the Lord since. That has been the greatest gift in my life, and started out of a conversation initiated by a missionary couple who could hardly speak Italian. Now, that happened 57 years ago.
Wow.
And this missionary couple, a month ago, they're now in their 80s, went back and visited my parents. And it was a moving meeting after so many years, a reunion of in the gospel. And so it was a joyful reunion where the missionaries were able to visit my parents and to whom they had shared the gospel for the first time. Now, last week, my dad passed away. He was 90 years old. And he was a fine believer. He, after being converted to Christ, he became an elder in the local church and has always been a zealous evangelist for the gospel.
Praise he's God. With the Lord.
Yeah, he's with the Lord, and he passed away last week. Last week, yeah.
Wow.
He was 90 years old. Leaving a legacy of, you know, faithfulness to the gospel and passion for evangelism. And so we praise God. Out of that encounter almost 60 years ago, not only my family was converted, church was planted, and I was also led to Christ in due time, and then many more other things happened. So God uses small beginning. God uses weak vessel. God uses people who are feeble, and yet they trust the power of the gospel that is powerful unto salvation.
Hallelujah. Now, how and when in your journey as a new Christian did you eventually come to discover and embrace the doctrines of Reformed theology?
When I was converted, the church that that I was part of was a kind of missionary, newly established church with no confessional boundaries, evangelical. They loved the gospel, they loved the Lord, but they had no awareness of the confessional boundaries and the doctrines of grace. So that was the beginning of my journey in that non-denominational kind of dispensationalist brethren type church. Eventually, when I grew up, my first encounter with the doctrines of grace was through the reading of the book Knowing God by J.I. Packer.
Amen.
And it was at that point that I began to realize that I had to do, God was calling me to a more serious study of God's Word. I had a superficial knowledge of the Bible, a kind of a pick and choose, cherry picking knowledge of God's Word, and I had to dedicate myself to a more thorough study of Scripture. So after J.A. Packer, I began to read the Calvin's Institutes, and then followed by the biblical theology of Gerhardus Voss.
Huh.
And even then books by Walter Chantry, Arsis Pro, and some classics of Reformed theology like Turretin and Warfield. And it was at that point that I became convinced of the doctrines of grace. And I didn't become a Presbyterian, but there was a book that helped me, Children of Abraham, that's the title, that helped me to see that, to have a more covenantal view of baptism. And so I didn't buy into the whole covenant theology stuff from a Presbyterian point of view, but I became convinced that the Reformed Baptist confessional position is the best description of what the Bible teaches. And
amen.
I've rested on that since, and I consider myself myself an evangelical first, so I have sweet and important relationships with all brothers and sisters in the evangelical trade. I'm an evangelical Reformed Baptist, so
hallelujah.
Evangelical first, Reformed second, Baptist third, and in that order. That gives me a sense of identity as well as a sense of openness to what God is doing throughout His church, that has been, you know, part of my heritage and part of my teaching.
Amen. Well, we are going to our first commercial break, and I do want to let our listeners know that we may be joined at some point in the interview with a co-host, Brian McLaughlin, who is a sponsor of this program. He is the president of SecureCom Group, and he was called into an unavoidable, unforeseen, extremely important business meeting and could not join us immediately. He may not be able to join us at all, but he may possibly, if the Lord wills, join us later on in the program. Brian is the one who gave me the idea to do a couple of interviews on the evangelism of the doctrines of grace in Italy, since he had just recently returned from a trip to Italy with his Italian-American wife and was involved in some outdoor evangelism there. And so, God willing, he will be joining us later on in the program. I do also want to let our listeners know, after this live program is over, you may want to listen to an interview I just did last week on July 9th with Matt Swanevelt on bringing the gospel of sovereign grace to northern Italy. And he is also a church planter in Italy, not a native of Italy, as the last name might indicate to you. And I believe you are familiar with Matt Swanevelt, are you not, Leonardo?
I know something of his church in Trieste. I don't think I ever met him in person, but I know the work of the church is part of.
Yes, he actually brought you up in our interview last week.
Okay.
Favorably.
Good.
And so we're going into our first commercial break. If any of you have questions that you'd like to ask of our guest, we already have Ted from Moundsville, Alabama, who submitted a question. If anybody else would like to join Ted with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
James White here of Alpha and Omega Ministries, announcing that this September, I'm heading out to Pennsylvania to speak at two events that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen has lined up for me. On Thursday, September 18th at 11 a.m., I'm speaking to men in ministry leadership at Chris's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon at Church of the Living Christ in Louisville. Then, on Sunday, September 21st, at 1:30 p.m., I'm speaking at Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle on the theme, Can We Trust the Bible is the Authentic and Inerrant Word of God? I hope you can join Chris and me for both events. For more details on the Free Pastors Luncheon, visit ironsharpensironradio.com. That's ironsharpensironradio.com. For more details on Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, visit trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, I'll see you in September in Pennsylvania for these exciting events.
I am still praising God for the addition of Gold Wealth Management to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers. They are veteran-owned and operated and built on the values of honor, courage, commitment, and service to others. The same values that were instilled in the owner during his 8 years in the Marine Corps. Gold Wealth Management is offering free reports on current market conditions. The threat of BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The coming digital currency and how to protect your savings and retirement accounts with real assets like physical gold and silver. There is absolutely no pressure and no obligation. Request your free reports today. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. And tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you. Don't wait. Be informed. Be prepared with Gold Wealth Management.
Daniel Wolford, CEO and President of Lebanon Folk Credit Union, and we're excited to be part of the Iron Sharpens Iron radio family. At Lebanon Folk Credit Union, we're proud to serve the community with six convenient locations across Lebanon County, Pennsylvania, and we're growing. We offer competitive rates on everything from loans to savings, and we're dedicated to providing top-notch member service. We pride ourselves on the credit union movement of people helping people. We are deeply involved in our community, supporting local events and organizations that help make a difference. When you join Lebanon Folk Credit Union, you'll immediately notice the difference. Our focus on meeting your financial needs with personal care and a friendly touch. LFCU can also offer you better rates and lower fees than our competitors. To find out more, please visit us online at lebanonfcu.org. Membership eligibility is required. Federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration. Terms and conditions apply.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers Morning Meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning in to Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
And we are now back with Leonardo de Chiarico, who is a Reformed Baptist pastor in Rome. And we're talking about the spread of the doctrines and the gospel of sovereign grace in Italy. And if you have any questions, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. And before we go to Ted in Moundsville, Alabama's question, I do want to ask you, after you became, by the mercy and grace of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, when and how did you come to realize that God had placed a call upon your life to enter into the pastoral ministry?
Yes, soon after being converted to Christ, I felt a sense of God calling me to something that was not clear at that point, but was certainly put on my heart. When I was a young Christian, I thought I was going to become a missionary, an overseas missionary. And actually, I also went to a mission trip to Somalia in the whole of Africa, Mogadishu, before the civil war broke out in 1989. But that was not the way that God had prepared for me. So after graduating at university, I got married, and the local church we were part of encouraged us to think about going to Bible college in the UK. And so after working in order to earn some money to make it possible, we left Italy, to go to Wales, UK, to the Evangelical Theological College of Wales. And we spent there, my wife and I, 2 years doing some theological studies. And after that, I applied to the PhD program at King's College in London. At that time, we received a calling coming from 7 Reformed Baptist churches asking us to come back and to be involved in a church planting work in the north of the country. That was an answer to our prayer and an open door for the beginnings of our ministry. We moved back in 1997 and started doing church planting work in the city of Ferrara, in the northeastern part of the country, the only Italian city that Calvin visited in his lifetime, and a beautiful Renaissance university city. We spent there 12 years church planting and eventually pastoring the church that had been planted. And so it was a call that I received earlier on in my Christian life, but it was eventually unfolded. It was not clear from day one when and where and how I was going to serve the cause of the gospel, and especially in pastoral ministry. It came out in different ways, and eventually the will of God, God's will, became clear and evident, and it has been such since. Then after 12 years in Ferrara, the same group of churches encouraged us to move to Rome to start a church planting work in the city, and that is what we've been doing since 2010.
By the way, I do want to let you know before I forget that I plan on sharing this recording of our interview with the widow of Walt Chantry, because you mentioned him earlier as one of the powerful influences upon your life in coming to Christ and coming to the Reformed faith. Walt was a friend of mine. I had the privilege to interview him several times, the last time of which I was honored to have that interview face-to-face with him. He was right in my studio sitting next to me. And I've maintained contact with his widow, Joey, and I'm sure she'll be thrilled to know of the impact that her late husband had upon you and your life and ministry.
Yeah, the book I read when I was a young Christian that impacted me was The Gospel Today, True or False?
Yeah, and its original title was Today's Gospel, Authentic or Synthetic.
Yeah, okay. I retranslated from it. That's the book.
Yes, and that was the first interview I had with him many years ago on WNYG Radio in New York, where I used to broadcast. Okay, we have Ted from Moundville, Alabama, has a question. Pastor De Chiarico mentioned that Roman Catholicism was still strong in all the various regions of Italy. I'm wondering if he could briefly break down how Reformed theology is faring in the different regions of his nation. A few years ago, I heard some encouraging reports regarding some vibrant Reformed congregations in the north of Italy. I'm wondering if that is still the case and in which other regions it is doing well. Perhaps Ted missed my interview last week with Pastor Swanevelt in northern Italy. But if you could, Pastor Leonardo, answer Ted's questions.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you very much for your question. In Italy, we are almost 55 million people, and if we count all evangelicals, from across the spectrum of evangelicalism, we would not reach 1% of that population. So we're talking about 500,000 people, more or less, counting all evangelicals. Of that amount of people, only a fraction is of Reformed persuasions and belong to Reformed congregation. There are perhaps 70, 80 Reformed congregations throughout the country. There is no one single region that has more than others, but there are mainly in big cities, Milan, Rome, Padua. These are the places where you find the more Reformed congregation. So it's not a big movement. It's not something that is exploding in terms of numbers, but there is a steady growth. When I was converted to Christ, 50 years ago, there were only a handful Reformed believers in the country. Now we can have, as I said, 60, 70 congregations belonging to different traditions within the Reformed faith. But there's been a significant growth. Nothing explosive, nothing impressive, but we are grateful to God because He's been working powerfully and is working powerfully to spread the gospel and to establish cultural reform congregations.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Ted, and thank you for being a faithful listener of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio going back to 2005. We have Carol Ann in Colchester, Vermont, who says it might be welcome and beneficial for our audience for you to break down the stark contrast between Roman Catholicism and Reformed Protestantism.
Yeah, that's a very good question. And there could be many ways of responding to this question, but one way of doing it is to recognize the fact that Rome is not committed to Scripture alone. And so the basis of authority is much more than Scripture. It includes the tradition of the church. It includes the magisterium, the official teaching of the church. The Bible is only in between all these other voices. And ultimately, the Bible is not the supreme authority. So when Rome seeks authority, she seeks in herself, not in something external, not in the Word of God, not in Scripture. That's one way of putting the stark difference. The other way is to say that Rome is not committed to Christ alone. It has a high view of Christ, of course. It speaks of Christ, but Christ is not the supreme only mediator between God and mankind. He is surrounded by sub-mediators, Mary and the saints, and most Catholics, they do pray not to Christ directly, but through sub-mediators. They trust these mediators more than Christ. And so they don't have a personal relationship with Christ because that relationship is filtered through other mediators. So there's no Scripture alone commitment. There's no Christ alone commitment. There is no commitment to grace alone as the only means and source of our salvation. And Rome, of course, speaks of grace, but it understands grace as a help, divine help, that we need in order to do our own bit, in order to contribute to our own salvation. It is not the gift of God that is sufficient from beginning to end to turn us away from our sin and towards the living God in Christ. So grace is a help rather than a salvation that is given in Christ. And faith is also something that clearly separates us from Rome. Rome is no sense of faith alone. You don't receive God's grace by trusting Christ for our salvation. You can be hopeful of your salvation if you do your good works, if you receive the sacrament, if you come under the sacramental system of the church. Faith is necessary for Rome, but is not sufficient to receive God's salvation. So that's another way of seeing the distinction. And then finally, I would say the stark difference is clearly seen in the fact that Rome is not committed to a life that is lived for the glory of God alone. And instead, Catholic life, Catholic devotion, Catholic practice is saturated with devotion dedicated to Mary, the saints, to different people, and shadowing the glory of Christ, and not pointing people to Christ, but pointing people to other figures. So, in a sense, the five solas of the Reformation, these are helpful tools that help us to see what is at stake with Rome. Rome is not committed to Scripture alone as the supreme authority. Rome is not committed to Christ alone as the only mediator. Rome is not committed to grace alone as the only source for our salvation. Rome is not committed to faith alone as the only means by which we can receive God's grace. Rome is not committed to God's glory alone as the chief end of our life. And so, Rome is not committed to the gospel, the biblical gospel. And that commitment that is not grounded in the gospel can be seen throughout Catholic doctrine and practice.
And we have to go to our midway break right now. That was an excellent, succinct answer. And we have to go to our midway break right now. And once again, if you have a question of your own, submit it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state of residence and country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back right after these messages.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina.
and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ today and always.
White here of Alpha and Omega Ministries, announcing that this September, I'm heading out to Pennsylvania to speak at two events that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen has lined up for me. On Thursday, September 18th at 11 a.m., I'm speaking to men in ministry leadership at Chris's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastor's Luncheon at Church of the Living Christ in Louisville. Then, on Sunday, September 21st, at 1:30 p.m., I'm speaking at Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle on the theme, Can We Trust the Bible is the Authentic and Inerrant Word of God? I hope you can join Chris and me for both events. For more details on the free pastor's luncheon, visit ironsharpensironradio.com. That's ironsharpensironradio.com. For more details on Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, visit trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, I'll see you in September in Pennsylvania for these exciting events.
Welcome back. Before I return to my conversation with Pastor Leonardo De Chirico in Rome, Italy, where he's broadcasting from live right now, I just have some important reminders to you. If you really love this show, folks, and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion, or if you prefer snail mail, sending a physical check from your post office to a physical address, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks, made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private professional practice, like a law firm or a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event you want to promote, whatever it is, as long as it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line if you are indeed interested in advertising. I also want to remind everyone that as urgently and as desperately as we need your financial help, I never want anybody giving their own church less money than they're accustomed to giving their own church on the Lord's Day in order to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio with a financial gift. In other words, please never cut into the financial resources that you have specifically set aside for your Lord's Day giving to your own church in order to bless us. Never do that. And if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you send us a gift. But if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, well, if you love the show, please share some of that money with us. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. But last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Brecchia di Roma in Italy, in Rome, Italy, well, I have extensive lists of biblically faithful churches spanning the entire globe, and I've helped many people in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience all over the planet Earth find churches that are biblically faithful, sometimes even just a couple of minutes from where they live, and that may be you too. No matter where in the world you live, please let us know if you are without a biblically faithful church home that you're aware of, and hopefully I'll be able to help you find one. Send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put, I need a church in the subject line. And I also want to give a shout out to Jack in Australia for the wonderful email that you sent me yesterday that was a great source of encouragement to me. And I would love to know what city in Australia, where you live, and if you are in need of a solid church home in that area. I do know of some wonderful biblically faithful churches in Australia. And I know that's a huge place. So let me know where you live, and let me know if your church is a good, solid church. We're now back with my guest live from Rome, Italy, Leonardo De Chirico, and we are talking about his ministry, bringing the doctrines of sovereign grace and the gospel of sovereign grace to Italy. If you have a question, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. And let's see here. We do have a listener from Boiling Springs, Pennsylvania. That's not far from here. Troy wants to know, are there any diehard traditionalists still in Italy who reject the Second Vatican Council? Yes, you had mentioned earlier that I believe you did your doctrinal dissertation on the Second Vatican Council. Maybe describe that briefly. And there is a very small minority of Catholics here in the United States, I typically call them traditionalists, who actually despise the Second Vatican Council and reject it. So tell us about your own situation.
Yeah, true. Well, the Second Vatican Council is the latest council of the Catholic Church, and is part of a long tradition of council, and is not to be, I mean, these traditionalist people are, they're rejecting something that their church doesn't reject. Actually, Rome considered the Second Vatican Council a legitimate council, and indeed, the council through which all the preceding ones need to be interpreted. And so, in terms of the Catholic doctrine, it is the latest council that provides a lens to read and interpret the previous one. So everything that the Catholic Church has ever said up to the Second Vatican Council needs to be interpreted according to what the latest council has said. And so you cannot pick and choose. You cannot say this is not. If you're a Roman Catholic, you must also embrace the Second Vatican Council. You're not allowed to pick and choose according to your own taste or your own inclination. That is not part of the Catholic, Roman Catholic faith. And so I think that in terms of them being traditionalists, they fail to stick to the traditional teaching of Rome, whereby all councils need to be embraced as authoritative pronouncements of the Catholic Church. Now, having said that, the Second Vatican Council was the first council in church history that did not end with an anathema or with an excommunication or with a condemnation. All other councils in church history ended with an excommunication of dissenters, protesters, heretics of sorts, but the Second Vatican Council wanted to convey the message that the Catholic Church was embracing all, friendly toward all, wanting everybody to be included instead of being excluded. This is perhaps something that the more traditionalist Catholics don't understand or don't like, this change of posture of the Catholic Church away from this oppositional stance over against those who don't belong to the Catholic Church, who are away from the Catholic Church, into embracing a posture whereby the Catholic Church wants to include all and embrace all, traditionalists, progressives, liberals, nominal Catholics, cafeteria, fruit salad Catholics, pick and choose Catholics. Vatican II wants to embrace them all, and providing for different ways of being Catholic. If you like to be a practicing one, that's okay. If you like to be a nominal one, a far distant one, that's also okay. The last Pope, prior to this one, Leo XIV, Pope Francis issued an encyclical, a magisterial important document called All Brothers, Fratelli Tutti. We're all brothers. We all belong to the same family. If you're a believer, if you're not a believer, that doesn't really matter. We're all brothers. That is what Vatican II has encouraged the Roman Church to pursue. And this is what present-day Catholicism shows and wants to achieve, this human brotherhood, this Catholic unity, whereby we're all united, not on the basis of the gospel, but on the basis of us being human beings, on the basis of our common and shared humanity. So I think that even in Italy, there are few traditionalists who take issue with the Second Vatican Council. They are a tiny minority, but they have a conscience problem, because they are actually running against their church they want to serve. The church that they want to serve has accepted Vatican II, and Vatican II is part and parcel of what the Roman Catholic Church teaches. You cannot escape that. You may not like it, but you cannot escape the fact that Vatican II is an integral part of the Roman Catholic Church.
Now, the traditionalists that I know and have met here in the United States, even one of them was involved in my very first theological debate that I arranged between Dr. James R. White, a Reformed Baptist, and Jerry Matatix, who was more of a mainstream Roman Catholic back then and was the darling of Catholic Answers, a more mainstream Catholic apologetic group. But he has since become a Seta Vacantist, a more extreme version of the traditionalists that doesn't even believe that there has been a valid pope since the end of Vatican I or since the beginning of Vatican II. And nor do they believe that the Vatican II priests offer a legitimate mass. But even beyond them, you have the Feeneyites and the Lefevreites and others who will say that they have every right and obligation to reject Vatican II because it is not the unique things in there that are not repetitions of Vatican I and not repetitions of the Council of Trent. The unique things in Vatican II have never been declared as dogma, and therefore they can be rejected. How do you respond to those folks?
Well, yes, Vatican II didn't issue a dogma, never issued a dogma, a new dogma, and it was considered to be a pastoral council, although it has two dogmatic constitution, two dogmatic documents, De Verbum, the word of the Lord, the word of God, and the Lumen Gentium, the light of the nations on the church. These are dogmatic constitutions, dogmatic documents, but they're not properly defined dogma. But that doesn't, it doesn't mean that the fact that Vatican II hasn't issued a dogma is not an important shaping series of documents in the Catholic Church, because, as I said, it is a council, and councils, they do have primary authority, and they do interpret previous councils and previous teachings, and they do form, together with the previous teachings, the body of Catholic doctrine. Catholic doctrine is not static, but it morphs, it develops over time. Interpretation develop over time, and that has been part and parcel of Catholic teaching across the centuries. There is no frozen Catholic dogma. dogma is always interpreted, even in the Catholic Church. The dogma of, say, outside of the Catholic Church, there is no salvation, is now interpreted in a very different way. The dogma is the same, but is interpreted in a very different way than, say, the patristic reading or the medieval reading. And the same is true as far as the canons of Trent. The dogmas are there, but they're now interpreted in a different way. And this is compatible with Catholic teaching, which says that the church moves on. The church is a pilgrim in history, and it develops over time without recanting, without changing, but at the same time, not simply repeating, restating what has already been said, but interpreting it. Vatican II is the latest prism or lenses that helps the Catholic Church to interpret its own identity. So Catholic doctrine is not only formed of dogmas, but is formed of dogmas, councils, magisterial documents, encyclicals, and a whole series of other voices. It is the combination, it is the sum of it. And always in the process of being interpreted by different people, ultimately by the magisterium of the church. And so I think that the traditionalists, they do have a view of Catholic teaching as if it were a frozen thing, something that is established and never cannot be interpreted in different ways. That's not true as far as the Catholic Church is concerned. They have a limited, short-sighted, reduced, narrow view of their own church.
Yeah, and they are very disingenuous when you have the more conservative Catholic apologists claiming that they are following and agreeing with the unanimous consent of the fathers, when first of all, the church fathers were not in full agreement on many things, but they are not carrying on the tradition of the fathers. In fact, the Roman Catholic churches, you have popes and bishops and theologians teaching things that their own church would have executed them for centuries ago.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. This is the consensus of the fathers is a wishful thinking. It's an historical, flawed view. It is a reconstructed theory that has no basis in history. And the fact that the church has never changed is also a wishful thinking in people's mind. But the church has always been changing, you know, it's always been adapting, expanding. And that is the genius of Catholicism, expanding the synthesis, adding things, collating things without changing the core, but actually making it thicker and more resistant to the gospel. But at the same time, always expanding, always opening up the synthesis. The Catholic Church has opened the synthesis towards paganism in the first centuries, then towards religions where it has planted Catholic churches. Think of Latin America, think of China. It has always embraced teachings and traditions coming from different cultures. Think of Africa. That's the genius of Catholicism, expanding, embracing, integrating without changing the core. Catholic Church is not a static thing that is always saying the same thing, but is evolving according to time without changing the core, but always adapting and expanding the boundary.
Excellent. We have Quinn in Lorton, Virginia, who says, I know that you likely use the Bible first and foremost when evangelizing Catholics, but do you ever use the Roman Catholic Church councils to be turned against the church? For instance, if you are engaging in conversation with a more liberal Catholic, you might bring up some of the horrific anathemas of Trent, or if you are engaging in conversation with a more conservative Catholic, you might bring up some things like paragraph 841 of the Second Vatican Council, or of the Second Vatican Council's Catechism of the Catholic Church, which tells us in paragraph 841 that the Muslims adore the same one true God as we do.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to use a variety of sources, a variety of texts, depending on the type of Catholic we're talking to. Most Catholics I meet in my daily conversations, gospel conversations, are nominal Catholics. They're Catholics by birth, they're Catholics by tradition, because they were born in a Catholic family, they were baptized as children, but that's pretty what it is. And so they have most of them have weird ideas about the gospel, about Jesus, about faith, and everything is intertwined with church tradition and procession and practices. And so my first attempt is at leading them to scripture and having the Bible speak for itself and having them taste the beauty, the truth of the Word of God. Of course, if I'm dealing with a more educated Catholic that has some knowledge of his own tradition and the documents of the past, then I can make reference to various texts depending on the topic we are discussing, of course. A post-Vatican II Catholic ordinarily, when confronted with, say, the anathemas of Trent, he or she would say, yes, but this is no longer how the Catholic Church describes the Protestant. They are now described as separated brethren. And so this definition determines the interpretation of the anathemas. The anathemas, they say, were not addressed to people, they were addressed to ideas. Whereas now the Catholic Church talks about people, mainly Protestants, as separated brethren. Now, how they can reconcile the two is an impossible task for me. But for their church, this is what they're taught, that they can maintain both the anathemas of the past and the ecumenical friendly terms of the Second Vatican Council. When it comes to Muslims and other faith communities, our listener is right in pointing out the fact that Vatican II talked about Muslims as people who worship with us the same God, and they pray with us the same God. That is Vatican II, and that is something that is confirmed in the Catholic Catechism, and that has been standard practice in Catholic theology since the Second Vatican Council. Popes praying with Muslims. Popes praying, asking Muslims to pray for them, assuming that we pray the same God. Allah is our God, and our God is Allah, the God of Islam. That is something that is integral part of what present-day Catholicism teaches and practices. And again, it's something that has come out of Vatican II and then applied, elaborated by different popes to the point of becoming standard teaching and practice of the Roman Catholic Church of today.
One of the things that makes what you describe the defense of the liberalized version of the anathemas of Trent, what makes that modern liberal defense a fallacy, one of the things, is just by reading all of the anathemas. Let me just pick one of them. The ninth anathema: if any one saith that by faith alone the impious is justified, in such wise as to mean that nothing else is required to cooperate in order to the obtaining of the grace of justification, that it is not in any way necessary that he be prepared and disposed by the movement of his own will, let him be anathema. Doesn't say anything about let that concept or that teaching be anathema. It said, if any one saith, and let him be anathema.
Yeah, it's personal language. He talks about people. He talks about him. He talks about a man, a person, a human being. And yet, it talks about, I'm not advocating the position of Vatican II, but then I've had multiple discussions on this, and the response was, yes, but it's a general statement about a generic person, not a specific one. And whereas when we talk about in terms of Vatican II or separated brethren, we talk about personal family language that trumps the previous the language that was previously used. Now I'm with you. This is a contradiction. This is something that cannot be maintained. And yet, this is one of the many polarities or imbalances or contradiction of the Roman Catholic Church.
Now, and please correct me if I've been pronouncing the name of your church wrong. Is it Brecchia di Roma?
Well, actually, it's Breccia di Roma. Breccia.
Breccia di Roma. Breccia di Roma.
Yes, very good, very good.
The makeup of the congregation of Breccia di Roma, is it predominantly people who are already born-again believers and evangelicals and maybe even Reformed in their theology? Or is there any considerable element that are former Roman Catholics who actually were saved by the grace and mercy of Christ through the evangelistic ministry of Breccia di Roma?
The latter. Most members are converts.
Wow, that's great.
Roman Catholicism. And as members, they have made a profession of faith. They've been baptized, and they have subscribed to the 1689 Confession of Faith, and so that is, you know, as a few of them, they do come from Protestant families or families of Protestant tradition, but it's a minority. The majority, we're not a large congregation. We are a congregation of 40, 50 people, but the vast majority of them comes from Roman Catholic background and having gone through a conversion experience away from Catholicism, embracing the gospel.
Hallelujah. That's good to know that that so many, if not most, of the souls in that congregation have been rescued by Christ's grace and mercy out of Rome.
Yeah.
I'll praise God for that. Let's see here. We have Willie in Jamaica, Queens, New York, who wants to know, I heard in the last interview that Chris Arnzen did with a Roman Catholic, I'm sorry, with a pastor evangelizing Roman Catholics in Italy. He said that the government has some kind of prohibition against identifying Protestant church buildings as real churches. Do you face that same dilemma?
Yes. Thank you for the question. Actually, I made reference to the fact that in 2016, we by God's grace, we're able to purchase the building we actually have our services in. And that building used to be a shop, a commercial shop. And then we transformed it into a place of worship. But the government has made us, has made it difficult for that recognition to be finally accepted. Because after coming to visit it, they reported by saying that our space lacks an altar, lacks statues, lacks paintings and other items that are inherent of worship spaces.
In other words, there's a mandate for you to be an idolater.
What they had in mind was a Roman Catholic definition of the church, or a Roman Catholic definition of what a church should look like. They didn't have a category for a non-Catholic church to be what it should be according to the values, the beliefs of that community. So we fought, we pushed back, and we took the government to court in order to have, you know, our right as a faith community to determine the way our biblical convictions shape the way in which we use our space and we organize our space. Now, two courts came to our favor, and they said, yes, this church has the right to organize the space according to their own convictions and beliefs. And there is not one single way of organizing worship spaces. The government took us to the Supreme Court, our final third level court. And unfortunately, the Supreme Court reversed the previous two pronouncements and went in favor of the government, saying that when we purchased the building and we transformed it into a worship space, we didn't make any structural change. And so for that reason, they couldn't recognize it as a religious space. Now, we are now in the position of having to do some structural changes in our building. We are going to build a baptistry. We're not building a statue. We're not building an altar. We're not building we're not putting paintings on the walls. We're building a baptistry because this is in accordance to our convictions of, you know, the God ordinance of baptism. And we hope and pray that this will be enough for the space to be finally recognized as a religious space. But the battle is still on, and we're still, you know, struggling to have this right to be recognized by our state.
Well, that would be a real Romans 8:28 issue, because you previously didn't have a baptistry, and here you are because of this prohibition of calling yourself a church. You're actually building now a baptistry.
Yes, that's right.
Where were you baptizing converts before?
We would use a Baptist church not far from where we are, who has a baptistry as part of their building. So we would use their space for baptismal services. Or we would also go to the beach, to the sea, to do also a kind of evangelistic service while administering baptism. But that was the way we used to do it. But now we are about to build our own baptistry. The problem is that the space is not large, and so we didn't want, in the first place, to limit it But now we, since we have to do some structural change, as the Supreme Court asked us to do, we thought that, building a baptistry would be a kind of a win-win solution.
Now, that really reveals, it exposes the sham of this so-called ecumenism and viewing you as separated brethren, doesn't it? Show you a lot of hypocrisy behind that.
Yeah, that's right. There is, on the one level, there is the language of, friendliness, religious liberty, religious pluralism. On the ground, though, we're still fighting, for the basic rights to be recognized. We don't want privileges. We don't want to receive privileges. We want basic rights. Faith communities are different. We're not a Catholic church. We don't have an altar. We don't have a statue. We are a Protestant church, and Protestant churches are defined theologically, historically, by being places, simple places, places where the focus is not on the altar or the paintings or the statues, but the focus is on the Word of God. The focus is on the community worshiping, singing, listening to God's word. And there is no category for us in this country yet. And the Catholic Church is primarily responsible for not educating people to be aware of the fact that the Catholic Church is only one religious body, but around it and outside of it, there are many others, and mainly the Protestant churches that have different beliefs and different ways of organizing in their spaces.
Now, do they have that same prohibition to Muslims in Italy who have mosques that are in ordinary buildings that were formerly businesses?
Yeah, that's an issue for them too, because unless they have a mosque that looks like a church, that is a building that looks like a religious building, they have the same problem. If they rent a space, they have the same problem.
Now, why is this important to you that the government officially recognize your facility as a church building?
Well, partly an issue of principle, and partly it's an issue of taxation. Because as a commercial building, you have heavy taxes on it, as if you were a shop or a business. But we're not a business. We are a church. We don't sell. We don't make money. We don't sell products, and yet we are taxed as if we were a shop. And since we're talking about central Rome, we're talking about 7,000-8,000 euros every year to be paid on taxes because of this injustice. And so we reclaim the tax-exempt status that all religious buildings have. Again, we're not reclaiming a privilege. We're claiming the same treatment that Catholic churches have. Catholic churches don't pay taxes on building, on property, because they are religious building. We want the same because we are a faith community. We are a religious community. We meet in buildings that are not shops. Used to be perhaps shops or whatever they used to be, but they now are used as church spaces, worship spaces, and there is no business going on. There is no money. There is no profit. There is nothing going on. Only church activity, and that is why we claim to have the same rights given to us.
Okay, we have to go to our final commercial break, and if you have a question, submit it immediately before we run out of time. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Armson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the Word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnson in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com will enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but
you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's cvbbs.com, making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Rees of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
And don't forget, folks, this program is paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco & Associates. If you're the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, call my longtime dear friend Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Make sure you tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, this program is paid for in part by RoyalDiadem.com. If you are going to purchase jewelry for yourself or someone you love, whether it's jewelry they already have in stock or having a one-of-a-kind, customized piece of jewelry created, please go to RoyalDiadem.com and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Not only do they provide financial support for us automatically every single month, but they also are giving us 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to our listeners simply by our listeners mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So go to RoyalDiadem.com for your jewelry today. And we're now back with my guest today, Leonardo De Chirico. And before we have you summarize what you most want etched in hearts of minds of our listeners today, we have RJ in White Plains, New York, who says, one of the most difficult things that I have to explain to Roman Catholics is that they think that the Protestant teaching of justification by faith alone is a license to commit sin. Do you face the same thing there? And how do you teach them to understand otherwise?
Yeah, that's an ongoing challenge. I think that the doctrine of justification by faith is a fiction that doesn't change things, doesn't change heart, doesn't change behaviors. And the way I approach this caricature, of course, because this is a caricature, this is not what the Protestant dogma, the biblical doctrine of justification by faith is all about, is by teaching the biblical truth, whereby we are given and imputed the righteousness of Christ, and we are covered, we are we receive Jesus's righteousness, and that accounts for our legal standing before God. But that work is also intimately connected with other aspects of God's work in our lives. Once we are given the righteousness of Christ, we're also imbued with the Spirit of God, and we are led into a path of sanctification. And so justification never happens without sanctification being the process that comes out of justification. So if justification is only something that happens in and of itself, it is not the biblical account of it. Biblical justification tells us that we are accredited, accounted the righteousness of Christ, and we are united with Christ, and therefore we are transformed in our hearts and minds and bodies, and therefore we have to see it in the full spectrum of biblical teaching. If we only think of justification apart from the rest of the work of Christ, we are actually making up a caricature. So I want people to see that justification is never is not something that is an isolated item. It is part of what God is doing, and it deals with our positional standing before God. And once that position is settled, and that is the ground of our salvation, we are also taught by Scripture that God is at work in us by changing our hearts, regenerating our whole person, and then leading us into a sanctified life. And that takes place in life. And so that's the way I try to respond to the caricature that is often put forward by Catholic friends.
Now, if you could summarize in about 90 seconds what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
God is at work in Italy, as he's at work throughout the world. Italy has a special history, being the cradle of Roman Catholicism, that has often acted against the Protestant gospel and the biblical gospel. But God is at work, so please pray for us as we want to see the glory of Christ be shown in our country, as we want to see people coming to faith, as we want to see churches being established according to God's pattern, and as we want to see the gospel spread out in the whole of the country. We are encouraged, and yet we see many challenges around us, and we value your prayers and your support.
Well, I want to make sure that our listeners are reminded of your websites. For Brescia di Roma, go to BRECCIADIROMA.IT. That's BRECCIADIROMA.IT. And then let's not forget about Reformanda Initiative, reformandainitiative.org, reformandainitiative.org, and also the vaticanfiles.org, vaticanfiles.org, vaticanfiles.org. I want to thank you so much, Pastor Leonardo de Chirico. And I want to thank everybody who listened. I look forward to having you back on the program, Pastor Leonardo. You did such an exquisite job. Perhaps we could do a program delving more deeply into the Vatican II, since you got your doctoral dissertation on that.
Yeah. And thank you very much, Christopher, for having me. And thank you all listeners who are, you know, make an effort to listen to an Italian accent.
And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.